all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
All right, wipe the shock off your face out there. There's a relationship between stress and your appetite and food cravings. You know I've written about this. You know I'm all about this. And I just think it's still such an incredibly important topic to discuss, especially after the age of 40 when things are really going awry in your appetite and hunger. But at any age, needless to say. So today we're going to talk about this with one of our most favorite experts. This is Dr. Mish Seibel, who is one of America's leading thought leaders and speakers on women's health and menopause, and is also the founder of My Menopause Magazine, which is available in the Apple newsstand. And the book title is Eat to Defeat Menopause, the Essential Nutrition Guide for a Healthy Midlife. Yes, you can have a healthy midlife. And while Michelle is off today doing her wonderful Empower Her thing, today, Mish, it's all about you and me discussing the powerful effect stress has on your appetite and food cravings. And Mish, what is the name of that wonderful website that I want to make sure everyone knows about, they could go to right now and get help?
FreeMenopauseHelp.com. At FreeMenopauseHelp.com, you can get a year subscription to My Menopause Magazine for free and some ebooks that I've made available for you, for your listeners, that'll really be helpful for them.
Fantastic. I want to make sure all the HER listeners out there know about this wonderful website and offering from one of the country's leading experts and thought leaders in the field of midlife health. All right, let's just get right down to it. Okay. Stressed is desserts spelled backwards. I figured this out back in 1993. Good grief. And I say it all the time when I wrote Fight Fat After 40, and I've been yelling and screaming about this forever. And now we have you, another kindred spirit, a scientist and physician expert in the field, talking about the same thing. All right, the emotional eater, or emotional eaters in the midlife. What's going on
right with
that?
Well, you know, it's a stressful world, and a lot of times people don't realize that they are just trying to tame their stress. They're trying to be satisfied. But let me offer a few suggestions how you can tell emotional hunger from physical hunger. For instance, emotional hunger just comes on all of a sudden. You know, you get to worrying about something and it comes on quickly. And physical hunger is much more gradual. And emotional hunger feels like you've just got to have it satisfied right away. Usually physical hunger can wait. And emotional hunger, you just have these cravings for specific food, those comfort foods, whereas for regular physical hunger, you can eat lots of different things. They sound good. And emotional hunger, you don't get satisfied when you're full. You just want more. And usually with physical hunger, you can stop. And the last one is emotional eating just triggers feeling guilty. You know, you just ate the whole darn quart of ice cream, and instead you feel guilty. And eating satisfies your physical hunger, and you don't feel bad about yourself. So those are some ways to kind of tease it out.
Well, you know, one of the things, I'm just going to summarize that really nicely as we really look at this, is I ask people to always remember the acronym HALT. You know, when you're really questioning whether or not you've got a hunger thing going, a true hunger thing going, or an appetite, an emotional eating thing, just say HALT. HALT. H is hunger. Are you really hungry? It's a biological drive. A means anger, anxiety. Is that really what you're feeling right now? L is loneliness. Really feeling pretty down. And T, you're tired. A lot of people are tired, and they think they're hungry. So they want a mountain of sugar to kind of keep
those
it going.
Great.
So how about that HALT thing? It just kind of quickly makes you, whoa, wait a minute. What am I doing here? I just love that. And so
it is great.
Now,
it's a wonderful summary.
Well, turn it around now and say to yourself, okay, now I'm an emotional eater, and so many women out there are. What do you do with that?
You know, some of the things you can do is really have a hunger reality check, you know, and just see if you really are hungry or not. Or maybe you could just keep a food diary and just write down what you're eating and see how much you're eating. Or maybe you just need to have support when you feel lonely, as you just said, in the hall. You know, talk to a friend, get support. You may get more fulfilled, so to speak, by talking than you will be by eating, you know, or
well,
if you're
and
bored.
It's also, well, at the same time, let's make sure women don't shoot themselves in the foot by doing something called restrictive eating. Tell us about that.
Restrictive eating? I'm not sure what you're talking about with restrictive eating.
Women who are put in a place where they say, I'm so terrified of eating now. I've just messed it up right and left. I'm in the midlife. I'm looking at my body. I'm so frustrated. Heck, I'm just going to skip meals. I'm just going to undereat. Surely that's the way to go.
Oh, well, see, that falls into a terrible pattern, because the whole thing is that if it's okay to have excess food as long as you have it in moderation, you know? So the thing is, people who try to skip meals end up actually eating more, and the food that we eat for breakfast, for instance, are certain vitamins and minerals and nutritions that we don't get throughout the day. So the deal is to understand when you eat breakfast is not to go and have a bagel and slob on a whole bunch of cream cheese or a bunch of jelly because you're eating all sugar, but to have some protein for breakfast, and maybe an egg, or to eat something like yogurt, something that's healthy as opposed to something that's sugar. But you're quite right. Trying to restrict and skip meals and do without, people do not do well with restriction, especially in the long run.
You know, it's really important, segueing off your excellent points, is I almost never talk about nutrition without also talking about physical activity. It's sort of like trying to figure out how much fuel you put in a car, but you never know how far the car's going. So how do you know how to fuel? So I always like to look at this balance of saying you're actually fueling that beautiful, wonderful midlife body of yours to be able to get out there, live your dreams, have joyful moments, dance, rock and roll, keep up with the kids and the grandkids, just be able to do that physical activity. Notice I didn't say the E word. I didn't say exercise. I said that physical activity that keeps you rocking and rolling. You know, so many women out there just break out in hives and run, you know, the opposite direction when you say the E word. So I always say physical activity.
It could be gardening. It could be dancing. It could be even housework can be very physical work. There's so many ways that you can do it. Shopping with a basket and pushing it around a huge grocery store, very simple tasks, can be absolutely exercise. And the thing about it is playing with your kids, playing with your grandkids, dancing is wonderful, particularly some of the more active dances, the samba, the rumba, some of those kinds of dances are great movement and also great balance. But you can do things like yoga for exercise, also calming and get your core strength up. There's so many things that you can do. And the trick is to understand what is triggering it for you. Just be really aware of if you're feeling stressed when you're eating. If you're actually keep eating when you're full, you know, do you eat to feel better? Is it a reward for yourself? All those kinds of things are telling you it's emotional, and they can be dealt with in a
different way. Absolutely. We actually call it self-soothing, and research has shown that cortisol levels actually plummet a bit after you've had the sugary, fatty, salty something to soothe yourself, but then again, they rise up again as soon as you feel the shame, blame, and guilt associated with it. So now we have a much better understanding of the powerful effects stress has on your appetite and food cravings, thanks to our wonderful expert, Dr. Mish Seibel, who is one of America's leading thought leaders in this field. The book is Eat to Defeat Menopause. Dr. Seibel, thank you for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and everyone, stay well.